I hate to have to admit it, but I have some notes here. That's because what we're covering with you here is being covered in a highly condensed fashion. This is the 8th lecture of the Washington course, January 1960. Now, I've got some specialized problems in handling cases. These are highly specialized problems. Very, very highly specialized. There's your high needle case and your low needle case. That's your first highly specialized problem. We put them on Mr. E-meter. Where's an E-meter? And they are way up, or they're way down. Either two extremes of very low or very high are dynamite-y. Those two extremes are sufficiently adequate that if you just grab people as a personnel director in a corporation, handed them the cans, and they read high, or they read extremely low, and didn't employ them, why, you'd weed out some of your randomity. Of course, then you find that your kleptomaniac registered at 3 or something. But it would weed out some of your randomity. This is a corny, fast look on an E-meter. Let's find out where the person is on the tone arm as to establish how well he's getting along. It's one of these rough looks. Because you can take somebody who is getting along just perfectly, apparently, at M, and you can shoot his tone arm way up here or bring his tone arm way down there. So it doesn't mean the person was a bad person. It just means they need some processing. Now, needing processing means needing getting things straightened out in terms of matter, energy, space, time, form, significances, thoughts, postulates, and so on. That's all there is in the bank. That's all there is in the universe. But the combinations of these things are so confoundedly complex, and the way time can duplicate time and space can duplicate space and all of these things, the way these things can occur, give us enough difficulty that an auditor actually has to pick his way through a case, something the way a lady would pick her way through a ballroom after a steelworkers' convention. Because, man, it's mixed up. It's really mixed up. Now, this high needle case means that the person is in an area of heavy mental mass. That's all that means. He's in an area of heavy mental mass, stuck in it. He's using this mental mass to withhold. Because he or she knows that they can't in that area. They know that have great difficulty withholding. And so that is true of anyone who is reading above his clear reading. They're having difficulties withholding somewhere up the line. Well, the reason they're having difficulties withholding is because the responsibility is low. Now, the symptom of not being able to control oneself in some area and not knowing about something in some area, also not knowing about something in some area, is a chronically high needle. It's a mechanical withhold, not under the control of the PC, but the PC has got parked there by the accident or postulate that what you don't take responsibility for sticks. Actually, that's a loose statement. We'll go into that in a moment. But he didn't take responsibility for what he did, So the resultant mass is not as-is. It's a beautiful mechanism. This operates fortuitously as a withhold, an automatic withhold in that area. Unfortunately, it doesn't work most of the time. When they're very, very irresponsible in an area, and their power to withhold in that area is very poor, you usually have an automatic valence of some kind or another. And the valence goes on and does things, but the person is just not hardly there at all. PC is sitting down in some obscure corner of his own mind, hardly even observing what goes on. Knowledge is very low. This is a stupidity factor. The stupid people, actually, are also low responsibility, low cause people, which is, say, low responsibility, and very low bad control people. You could simply issue driver's licenses, for instance, on IQ, and you'd have it made pretty well. Just as easy as that. Give everybody an IQ test and so on. Of course, there would be some injustices, but you'd save some accidents. Now, here's the case. This girl can read here at 2 most of the time until you start talking to her about spaceships, about which she knows nothing, of course, being a sweet young girl. And you talk to her about spaceships, and it goes straight up. Now, you're not auditing her. You just talk to her about spaceships, and you can actually move her into that area. Now, of course, as a Scientologist, I'm talking about a Scientologist talking to her. She could read about spaceships in magazines and see a movie and all that sort of thing. It wouldn't do very much. But a Scientologist talking to her about spaceships would be pushing it home, you know. He'd know what he was talking about. He'd re-stimulate her. And re-stimulated, she would go up into how she feels about spaceships. She knows she's totally irresponsible for spaceships and mustn't be near one. One of the reasons she's a girl. She knows she can withhold nothing from spaceships, and with a spaceship under her control would withhold nothing. You know, something comes in the zone of fire and she simply would press the firing button. Wouldn't matter whether it was a friendly city or an enemy one. See, you know, that's a bum deal. Now, this is very often accompanied with a little theta bop. You know, little theta bop. What the devil's that theta bop? You say it's death. No, theta bop actually means leaving. And leaving includes death. So when you get them way up in this area, they very often theta bop. Well, don't we go looking for a death in the area? Of course there's deaths in the area. There's millions of deaths in the area. Dead bodies in ditches and draped over telephone poles. But that isn't why it's theta bopping. When she starts reading up this high and is in a mass that you've temporarily re-stimulated, way up here, about 5, 6, something of that sort, she wants to get out of there. And her idea of leaving and her desire to leave gives you a theta bop. Of course, she doesn't know what she's leaving. So she, every once in a while, will talk to her husband about leaving. She'll talk about leaving her job. She will talk about leaving the area she's in. She'll talk about leaving. She'll talk about leaving. She doesn't know why she's leaving. If she's chronically high like this, she just leaves. She doesn't know what she's leaving because responsibility being low, control being low, therefore knowledge is not extant on that particular area. The only last thing she will know about it is she had better get out. Now, the reason why man didn't find out about man is because all of man's discreditable actions are founded upon a creditable fact. You had to have a big heart to grasp it. You get the idea? I mean, all of his most discreditable actions are, oddly enough, based upon a creditable fact. He's basically good and will dispose of himself one way or the other if he finds himself being bad. Very often he does bad things and then finds out that they were bad things, and thereafter withholds. This I'm giving you is technical fact now, not just opinion. When the fellow finds out he's done something bad, he thereafter tries to withhold in that particular direction because he thinks he's been irresponsible. So that the first overt act in any given sequence of incidents is usually accidental. I saw one happen this way just the other day. I was speaking to you about knocking e-meters around. It was a big joke because I dropped an e-meter because the PC made a sudden motion. And the e-meter was perched a little bit, not even precariously, and the e-meter went off on the floor. I accumulated in the same session about three more overts against an e-meter and finally kicked the thing across the room after the session. See, I just let it go to see where it had built up. Get the idea? I obviously had done wrong perching the e-meter where it was perched, you see. And then having been guilty of an overt act against the e-meter, then did two or three. Got the idea? Huh? I was just letting this one run because I was being rather amused, man. That's the way it goes. Now, the e-meter wound up all right. Nobody destroyed the e-meter. But there's just a tiny, ridiculously simple example of the spaceship Torpedoman who one day or another walks up and finds that a stud near the exhaust port of a torpedo is corroded. It's his responsibility area, you see. And this little stud is corroded. Oh, he damns and curses. He damns the manufacturers, you know, and he curses around and so forth. Here's a corroded stud and so forth, and it shouldn't corrode and all that sort of thing. And he decides he'd polish the thing up, and he polishes it up, you know, and snarls about it a little bit, you know. And a few days later, he finds that the thing is corroded. So he looks into it a little more closely and finds out that lately, when he's been closing the exhaust port, he's not quite been closing the dogs. The planetary atmosphere in which they're operating is corrosive to that particular metal. He has actually been guilty of not performing his duties right. Now, he's got overts against the person who did it, himself. He didn't mean to do it at all. So he decides he'll tighten up. He'll run a taut torpedo room. He'll get real taut on this whole thing. He's slightly misemotional in this exact area. One day he's slamming this exhaust port shut and closing the wheel, and he closes it with such violence he breaks off a spoke. Well, now don't be surprised if one day you find him in there with a hammer busting the whole place to pieces. Got the idea? The first overt act against a husband might be as stupid as just forgetting to turn on the coffee pot. See, just as stupid as that. Didn't turn on the coffee pot. The wife comes in, he hasn't got much time, he's taking off in some direction, they've just set up light housekeeping, and he comes in, he's got his breakfast cup of coffee, and she didn't turn on the coffee pot. Well, she turns it on in a hurry. She does make some coffee. It's kind of weak. Covers this one up and sends him off. 3 years later, we find her in the divorce court because of all the things her husband has done to her. Well, we start unstacking all this, and underneath the pile, we find a coffee pot not turned on. So you're not looking for the dramatic incident. Early. The dramatic incident is always late. You trace all these dramatic incidents back to nonsense. So that this girl, with her spaceship and so forth, did something one day like slightly dent a fin while landing it. Nice, bright, shiny new ship. First command and all that sort of thing, and dents a fin landing it. And you, an auditor, you see, you're running responsibility, and you're perfectly willing just to mop up the whole ruddy track. Oh, battles and people's dying and things blowing up and planets exploding and colliding with a flagship. And, oh, you're just, you know, just having a ball, you know, drama, 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 drama. Well, you're going to take your finger off your number if you don't find that dented fin. The incident won't wholly release until you find the first overt, because that's the discreditable creation. How does this tie up? The rest of it starts to peel off when that first discreditable creation shows up. But, of course, the person doesn't know about it. You've got to get some of the high dynamite off the line and the withhold rehabilitated and so forth. And eventually this little tiny bug shows up. People cleaning up their overts against Scientology, auditors, PCs, connected personnel, doing it just by writing a list down, would probably forget their first overt. Because their first overt's too stupid. Usually it's too slight, you see. It's not that people have enormous overts against it, it's just that they function much better in it. And trying to lessen the overt on something you've done to Scientology, see, that's just a little bit hard to do. And so it's a good one to get this one off the line. We found one day. A person had promised to give Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health, to another person and hadn't done so. And that was the first overt. And all other overts stacked up on that one, because that was the discreditable start. Fascinating, huh? You wouldn't think that a person had eventually squirreled and practically committed suicide over the thing to be traced back to one lousy textbook that he didn't give another person. It isn't necessarily true that every time you've made a mistake that you've stacked up after that dramatic overts. But where you have dramatic overts, there was always a first mistake. That one is true. So look for that one. And don't consider you've got this particular terminal incident sequence or anything else mopped up until you've got that first one and run responsibility on that first one. When you got responsibility on the first, and you find others suddenly pop into view that were rather suppressed right up to that point. Well, this high needle case, you see, would go back to the dented fin in this one area. But this girl, a few days after you had re-stimulated her, would be back down at two again. It's just a selected area that she goes up in. Now, a girl who is re-stimulated by family, who is married or something of that sort, you see, would be up there all the time. It just depends on what re-stimulators are in the environment. And she just ride high all the time. And in auditing, will continue to ride high until you get off the overts and withholds against the various terminals, which are holding it high all the time. So a consistently high needle means only that the person's environment contains the difficulties of the person. And a sporadically high tone arm means that the environment contains only some shadow of it. Got that? Now, to bring that down, it's only necessary to get responsibility with great control and the rehabilitation of withhold. Now, funny part of it is you don't rehabilitate withhold when you first saw into this sort of thing. You get off the overts and withholds because they're always other determined when you first tackle them. And having gotten them off, you will get the tone arm down. You don't have to rehabilitate withholds in order to get a needle down, because the withholds are all automatic. You better get them off. That's the way to handle this. Sweeten up the person's ARC and then later on rehabilitate it, you see. Now, every time you get off withholds, you start running responsibility. On any major overt withhold that you find, run responsibility on the thing, and of course you knock out this inability to withhold. As fast as you pull a rug out from underneath the PC, you see you've got these big overts with holes off one way or the other. As fast as you pull a rug out from underneath the PC, you let the PC have a corner of the rug back with responsibility. Got the idea? Now, the rehabilitation of withhold isn't as important to the high needle case, generally speaking, as it is to the other very, very special case. View the fact that the low needle case is going to ordinarily cause an auditor who doesn't know his lineup on this more trouble than a high needle case. I probably should spend more time on it. But the low needle case has taken this computation on being unable to withhold, has assumed the valence or the characteristics of a mindless object. And when you take a fellow down from the top and find him going right past his clear reading, or a girl and find her going right past her clear reading down into the minus level, you can assume that the automatic withholds that you were taking off were the only withholds this person was capable of. You got this case down here at 1.5 on the needle arm, and you shouldn't ought to have the case down there at 1.5. Now, truthfully speaking, this case is worse off than the high needle case. The low needle case is worse off than the high needle case, and has therefore been less easy to process. But when you skid a high needle case right on down past the clear reading into the low needle area, then you know for sure that you took off all the automatic withholds, and the person here had no possibility of withholding. No self-determined withholds existed, which tells you, of course, all you need to know for the solution of the case. You could actually figure it out from there. All you have to do is rehabilitate this low needle case, ability to withhold. On any terminal, you can get any reaction on. You got a low needle case, comes to you as a low needle case, or breaks down from high to low, goes down too quick for you to grab any responsibility on the line, then you know what you're looking at. You're looking at an inability to withhold. Now, the way one remedies this and ceases to be dangerous to one's environment is very simple. Because I repeat to you, the reason people are in bad shape is they don't want to commit overts. And they're restraining themselves from committing overts. So, this thing comes down. The person's last answer is to get into the valence of something that couldn't possibly hurt anybody, and that itself was the automatic withhold. Now, it works like this. You could withhold a doorknob from an Eskimo. And the overts are against Eskimos. So the person goes into the valence of the last thing they're absolutely sure they could withhold from Eskimos, which is a doorknob. Now, a doorknob having no facsimiles at all, of course, won't register high on the resistance. Damnedest thing you ever watched. Now, you don't have to scout out, oddly enough, what the fellow's in. But he'll tell you somewhere up the line on running a simple withhold process. You can move that thing back up. Perhaps the only difficulty in doing this will be the old mechanism of certainty. A person has to be certain he could withhold. You don't dare let a sloppy, irresponsible answer go by when you're trying to get that tone arm up. Of course, you can challenge and beat a person about the certainty and responsibility of it when he's in a low and fragile state to a point where he can reduce his case. So it has to be done with good ARC. But you're going to get this person and beat your brains out unless you tackle this thing sentiently. Now, I'll give you the first broad solution is the control factor. You run the person on SCS. That is the first broad solution. And a very good HCA solution is simply run the person on start, change, and stop until they're just flatter and flounders. And, of course, by that time, they've stopped the body often enough and started the body often enough and stopped it and changed it, and they're getting used to the thing, and they recover their ability to withhold at least a body. And up they come. Simple. Now the next much more adroit method is to run a dynamic assessment. Assess for all dynamics on this low needle case until you get a knick-knock on the needle. Not on the tone arm. You get any terminal that registers on a needle. Now, any terminal that registers on a needle is real to some degree to the preclear. All you want is the reality factor. You don't even care if it's the right terminal. You just want some terminal real to the PC, so you pick up any terminal, it'll go knick-knock on the needle. And then you run, rather conversationally, a process. What could you withhold from a whatever you got on the needle? Person usually starts in with a piece of mist. Some unlikely piece of mist. I could withhold teutronium from a sled dog. Because, of course, there's no teutronium on Earth. It solves that. Let's see, what else could I withhold from a sled dog? You know? All right, what else can you withhold from a sled dog? Well, let's see, I could withhold. All of a sudden, he sees a torrent of fish going out from his bank. You know? What's that? Fish. Hey, you can't withhold fish from sled dogs. Oh, man. You've been contributing to fish to sled dogs too long, you know. That's the answer to that situation. It's got to be a stuck outflow. Now you got to get the reverse going on this one. Well, let's see. Well, what could you withhold from a sled dog now? With absolute certainty now, what could you withhold from a sled dog? Well, let's see. There are no Africans where sled dogs are. That's the easy way to withhold anything. Which, by the way, is the clue why tracks get clanked over against themselves and folded up and locations get mishmashed and so forth. It's this ability to withhold people are wildly trying to assert, you see. Well, I could withhold a... I couldn't withhold a witch doctor's incantation a sled dog, because I might be amongst sled dogs, and I might know a witch doctor's incantation. I just have to say it. No, that isn't it. No. Let's see. What could I withhold? Always, of course, when the PC says anything about the command, why, you say, I'll repeat the auditing command, making it your command, not the PC's command. Did you know that trick, by the way? What could you withhold from a sled dog now? Say, Africans, 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 Africans. Well, I could withhold a hot day in Nairobi from a sled dog at the North Pole. No. It collapsed. Oh, I could withhold a palm tree from a sled dog. Yes, sir, a palm tree from a sled dog. That's it. Yeah. About this time, this torrent of fish slows down, see? Well, that's the way you build it back up, you see? And you'll find out that you might do it on one terminal, if you got the terminal that was hot on the case, but you do a reassessment after you got the sled dog fixed up, you know, and you get another terminal on a dynamic assessment and run withhold on this. In Scientology Fundamentals of Thought, you will find the conditions of a game's condition. Those are something for you to pay attention to. It's have for self and can't have on others, which tells you that withhold on a havingness basis is almost unlimited. Along with this, however, you might infer that people do things to sled dogs. You could run that in, but you won't have to, because ordinarily the PC will tell you what you do to sled dogs. It starts out with leaving them out in the blizzard while you're in a nice warm igloo. Of course, you couldn't put the sled dogs in the igloo, too. Impossible. And they get along all right out in the blizzard, except sometimes when the blizzard is too extreme. But, well, they get along all right in the blizzard. Well, when driving sled dogs across thin ice, they very often go in and, being hampered by their harness, can't swim, and that's the end of a team. Overt against sled dogs. Well, it's a good moment to say, well, could you take responsibility for dumping a sled dog team into a river? What responsibility could you take? What part of that would you be willing to cause? Oh, I'd be willing to cause trying to rescue them. Good, all right. Get how it goes? And up will come this low arm. You've recovered the ability of the person to withhold from various terminals. The trouble with a lady of the night is she can't withhold herself from men, for instance. You find almost any wife would be virtuous if she could be, and any husband would be virtuous if he could be, but they can't withhold themselves from the opposite sex. It's quite amazing, because we think quite the reverse is true, you see. We think they're quite active. They're not active. They're not acting at all. They watch themselves walk up to the opposite sex, you know, and they say, what am I doing here, you know? They can't do anything about it. Get the idea? And then once more, I repeat, that is the reason why people never cracked this problem all the way on down. His man was so sold on the evil of man, you see, that he could never get the reason why man acted the way he did. Man acted the way he did because he was trying to be good. All right, now there are other manifestations here of cases, and you will find at female clear some man. And you will find at male clear, reading, a woman. Well, of course, this is a matter of transvesticism. Now, oddly enough, because of the number of times it can invert, it is apparently not true that the first reversal is a fact. Here, the arm sitting at male, clear. This might be a woman, you see, who is being a man, who is being a woman, who is being a man. See, this is your flip-flop. You can't say that this is a woman who is in the valence of a man. That's too simple a statement, see? It might be a man who is in the valence of a woman who is in the valence of a man. And M is the proper reading for the PC, except that it's going to go to 2 before it comes back to 3. You see this? But you can say that a woman who is at M is having difficulty withholding from men and women. And a man who is at F is having difficulty withholding from men and women. And that a woman who is picked up on your meter at F might be a man who is in the valence of a woman and is having difficulty withholding from men and women. And a person who is at M is having difficulty withholding from men and women. Any variation of this nonsense. All right, so much for that low needle. Now, if you have any real difficulty with a low needle case, just run what responsibility you can on the case in desperation, and you'll find the case comes up. Take a high needle case, you'll get it down on running responsibility. Providing the auditing is done with good control. Now, cleaning off the overts and withholds off of a low case are almost impossible. You'll get somebody reading it too, who has just robbed the Chase Manhattan and shot a director of the Bank of England, and the person won't even tremble on your meter. He had no reaction at all over here. I mean, first he'll just sit there, you see, at two, consistently and continually. No tremble. You say, did you rob the Chase Manhattan Bank and so forth? No. Some responsibility has to exist before you get a needle reaction. Now, that is the vast and big mystery of why your needles don't jump off the pin when you really hit the overts of a PC. It takes sometimes a lot of little overts off and a lot of responsibility run before you start getting reactions on the needle. So don't you get fooled with this one. I noticed you already have been fooled with this one a time or two. You said this person has no overts. No, this person has no responsibility. Get the difference? All right, now your definition of responsibility is willingness to admit having started, changed, or stopped. Willingness to admit having started, changed, or stopped any action, mass, matter, energy, space, time, form, circumstance, condition, postulate, anything of that sort. That's your technical definition of responsibility. It's admitting cause. Yeah, but cause of what? Admitting cause of starting is the most important. Admitting cause of changing is much less important. Admitting cause of stopping is, of course, your withhold. You're most important in clearing up a track, just if you're erasing facsimiles, would be cause of starting. See, so that's your discreditable creation, or your creditable creation, or any other cause of starting. Now, a person who is no longer able to stop anything picks up automatic stops, and that's what gives you your various mass reactions on the tone arm reading. In other words, they can't stop. Not only can they not admit cause of stopping, they just can't stop. That's different. They can't stop anything. That's even different than being responsible for stopping anything. See, whether they admitted the cause or not admitted the cause, they can't stop it. Doesn't matter what their consideration is with regard to it, it just won't. And they're stuck with the idea that it's impossible for them to halt anything in some zone of existence. Well, it probably works out that they have been guilty of having stopped things or something of the sort. They've abandoned stop in any event. That's where they left the show. Now, you don't run admitting cause of stopping to amount to anything. You just rehabilitate withhold. But you do run admitting cause of starting or admitting cause of changing. And you'll find the whole secret of all there isness in change. Now, if a person changed something and admitted he changed something, he never got hung with it. What people get hung with is starting something and saying they didn't, changing something and saying they didn't, stopping something and saying they didn't. See, it's not straight, in other words. It's got a curve on the line. This Thetan in a body said the body started something. Body didn't start anything. The Thetan started something. Well, you've got a mess on the line right there. That's not much of a mess. And you shouldn't get oversensitive about the enormity of all this. When a Thetan hangs up an incident, brother, he hangs it up in grand style. And what it takes on the whole track to aberrate or to hang a mass in the bank is heroic. So don't go around tiptoeing and watching your hand stuff food in your mouth and say, uh-oh, I ought to admit that I am causing the body to be fed and so forth, because that never aberrated anybody. Now, shoving the fork into the waiter and being executed for it, nah, that's more like the order of things that get things aberrated. Even though they start small, they're not important until they get big. And you can start any quantity of small things that will never get big. It's nothing to be super sensitive about. If you go into law, however, and start serving writs in the name of the state, you'll have had it after a while. After about 2,000 overts, some of which wound people up in the electric chair, and that sort of thing, and you thereafter found they were innocent, you know, somebody else did it. The Christie murders over in England, good example of this. They claimed a young man killed his wife and child. And they hanged him, by golly, about a year before they caught Christie. And at the time they hanged him, he said Christie did it, but they didn't listen to him. They went ahead and hung him. Oh, Lord help the prosecutor and the rest of the boys when they eventually found Christie. Now, it didn't show up right then, perhaps, but up the track someplace, you're going to get one of these boys to try to study law. Some fond father is going to get one of these boys to try to study law. Next thing you know, they're out eating women or something. How did that happen, you know? They've been wrong, that's all. They went on to total automatic kind of thing. No, you have to be pretty wrong to get aberrated. And you have to be pretty darn desperate in the misassignment of cause in order to get messed up. It's a bad thing to do to not walk forward and say you did it. That's a bad thing to do. But the society's so rigged that if you do something bad and then walk forward and say you did it, why, they don't give you processing so you can withhold from it next time. They throw you in jail so you're far more likely to do it next time. Society tries to furnish an automatic withhold. Automatic withholds don't work. All right. Now, there's a couple more items I've got to take up with you here. One of these is dub-in. Now, I have, in running an experiment a long time ago, no, not a long time ago, as a matter of fact, very recently, got into a track area and saw for a moment some dub-in. And before that, I never knew what this thing was. And just for a moment, I saw some dub-in. It was a track area I'd never had anything to do with, never explored before, anyway. I got to sawing into this thing. The responsibility on this particular little zone of action was zero. And for a moment or two, the picture I saw was totally populated with Scientologists. That's quite a few. What we were doing is we tried to find the lowest possible point of responsibility in 152 trillion years. Lowest possible point of responsibility. And I found one. On what was the lowest possible point of responsibility. And for a moment or two, immediately after discovering it, the Anatan went bong, you know. Here was this brilliant scene, which, by the way, was the right scene for the incident, but it was populated all wrong. Not that these weren't good people. But they sure had no business back there 610 million years ago, all in the same group. Now, you get the idea. And I admit, I tried to hold on to this long enough to take a real good look at it and see what else had happened when whir, clank, thud, and ran its responsibility line up through black, invisible, actual facsimile, and then with some Anatin immediately after that, why, blue. But I've had a subjective reality. I was very glad I did, because I have wondered and wondered what the devil people are talking about sometimes on these dub-ins, and I knew they weren't so, you know, and I just couldn't figure it out. And for a split instance, see a totally erroneous facsimile, you see. That's quite an experience. But to realize that some people go around looking at these things all the time is quite wonderful. They evidently look at them all the time. And I learned something from this. Going for broke on OT does have its moments. What I learned very specifically was that such a person seeing dub-in all the time is below Anatin. The Anatin turns on afterwards. They're apparently wide awake. So that a PC who doesn't dope off when you hit things and has things all erroneously plotted one way or the other, you better handle that PC like made out of fragile check glass. The layout seat break very easily. You can stack up the case very easily. You probably could suggest various things. You got the idea? Trying to get some responsibility on this thing is probably too tough for words. The best thing you can do for such a case that's running total dubbing, you know, that's just like that all the time, they blow through this. If they are doing all right and they just hit one, blow through the thing, you know, in a few hours and so on, you're not dealing with this kind of case. You understand this. And they're just doing this all the time, and they talk about, oh, I know, everybody's seeing James Dean these days. Those are dubbed cases. Usually. Superpopulated environment. People that aren't here anymore are walking all over the streets, you know, that kind of thing. Well, now, that kind of a case is best handled by your CCHs and SCS. It's about the only way you're going to get to this case, so you needn't monkey with it. case is liable to bug out on you. You do too much think, you know? That doesn't mean that everybody that's run on CCH, I always have to add this, and SCS, is this kind of a case in the auditor's opinion. But it does mean that I haven't said anything about this thing for years, because actually, I personally didn't really believe it. I've seen it in the PC's chair time and time again, you see. I still didn't believe it. I thought it was very amusing, even though it might give you a bad opinion of my auditor or something of the sort. Apparently quite personal, gives you a bad reflection on my case and all that. I knew you needed this particular datum, so I set myself up to see if I could find it for you. I'll believe it now. I'll believe it now. What awes me is think of walking through all one's days in that kind of thing, because, boy, that would be a daze. And think of going up and down the time track with all this kind of thing. Man, that would be a rough show. But a person would be below Anatin. So if you start to run them on SCSs and that sort of thing, you could expect enormous quantities of Anatin to come off. Enormous quantities. The person would be practically awake, and then all of a sudden you'd get nothing but dope. And again, that means that a person who dopes off isn't necessarily in this condition, because you'll hit dope off running anything. But that's what you could expect from a dub-in case. And they do exist, these old-time wide-open cases. Everything is backwards and repopulated and so on. Well, those people are totally irresponsible, and they are below unconsciousness. Evidently, unconsciousness is an ability they have lost. They very often don't sleep and all kinds of things like that. That's something to know about cases and to pick it up. First time I observed this, I think, was about, 12 years ago, first time I ever saw any of this. Saw a lot of it about 10 years ago and haven't mentioned it particularly. Well, you're going to run into it now like mad, and don't expect this person to be able to run very much responsibility with any certainty. But try it anyhow after you've run some SCS and so on. Now, that person is basically protecting the whole universe from themselves. And that's why they've gotten into this situation. And they apparently pull everybody in that they know into that immediate area and zone to remind themselves, see, that they might do something to them. Their intentions are quite good. Their cases are not necessarily difficult to solve, but you're going to get an awful lot of Anatin and so forth off the case, and the case is going to unscramble, and the facsimiles are not going to be factual and so forth. But the characteristics of the case are what are important to you. The characteristics are responsibility doesn't bite. The tone arm here is not going to change very much on that case. It's going to hang. Got it? All right, that's your E-meter manifestation. Next manifestation is considerations apparently don't change very much. And the case, in doing a run, goes upscale to unconsciousness. You know, it's dub-in, black field, invisible field, picture is the scale they run up through. We knew that already. But you needn't think everybody is a dub-in case just because they think this or that is happening and so forth. I've had a look now, and I can give you the dope. Now, there's one more very, very, very important datum, and not very much time to give it to you here. You can take every and any chronic somatic difficulty, aberration, or worry that a case has, spot its time on the E-meter, and run it just like a field. And you'll wind the case up, and the reason I mentioned dub-in is you'll probably run into this, doing this. You'll wind the case up in its lowest zone of responsibility on the track. And you're liable to get a dub-in phenomena in doing this. So don't get too disturbed by it, because it'll blow through. The person isn't normally a dub. You run this lowest zone of responsibility, you'll get a momentary or a longer dub, perhaps. It's all going to be scrambled and look wrong and grouped wrong and the wrong people present and all that sort of thing. Well, you run them up through the thing and you do it. Now, the auditing command by which you handle this, of course, is some version of responsibility on the incident that the person is at that moment looking at. Well, the auditing command has not been smoothly worked out, and you just have to work it out to fit the circumstances, you see. But it'd be, don't pin them completely, utterly on and on with just that incident, you see. Because they're going to go up and down the track from it and mess around with it, and all kinds of things occur in the vicinity of the incident. So you can't say what part of 8 billion years ago, you see, could you take responsibility for, or something like that. That's not going to work. Let's say this person had a withered leg. You decided to go for broke on it. Now, the first condition is you've got to set the case up to run. You've got to get the case into good two-way communication with you and give the case some kind of a win in PT, the present lifetime, just like you set it up. Now, you're going to get rid of this condition and so forth. Well, you can get rid of that condition, smash, crash, if the case can be audited by you and hasn't got ARC breaks on. Another datum here is the ARC breaks that you run into with a case is from a former session, not from the session the ARC breaks are apparently occurring in. Case was not set up to be audited when you audited it. Case had overts, with holes, and so forth on auditing before you saw it into the case. And if you're the auditor and you've been the auditor consistently, it's probably session day before yesterday that's hanging up. Not the session. You can waste more time on ARC breaks trying to run the ARC breaks the PC is running into if you were doing a halfway decent job of auditing. Now, in running a chronic somatic this way, remember to have the case set up so it can run and two-way communication going, and then adapt the auditing command in some way to take care of the scenery and its various sequences and consequences and run responsibility on it. Something on the order of, what about that scene you are experiencing? Could you be responsible for? Or what part of that scene you're experiencing could you cause? Something of that nature. Being tailored up for the particular thing. You see, there's too many varieties of worries. You know, it might be just a feeling. You know, well, what part of that feeling could you be responsible for? But that might not be enough because it'll branch out into a picture. So you've got to label this thing so the PC can continue to run it even though it changes. And if you label it too precisely, of course, you won't permit its change. Got that? This is a very, very important step in Scientology because it tells us that we could make whizzeroos out of almost any human difficulty. I see some glasses around here. You could spot, not glasses on the track, but you could spot bad eyesight or something like that on the track. And then whatever showed up in that vicinity, you'd run responsibility on it. And you quickly get the hang of this sort of thing. And I think you'll learn that you also have to adapt the auditing command as you encounter it. Okay? Well, that's all I've got to tell you today. I hope you digest it well. Thank you.